Good morning.
Morning, Maccabee.
Morning, folks. I got a
Morning.
notice about Teams also, so I wasn't sure. I thought we were on Zoom, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Every time people are just going to Teams instead of Zoom. I thought
It
Jeremy
is
had
a
fixed
plague upon
that.
our house that we do this to ourselves all the time. We have all the collaboration tools, right? We have Google Meet, we have Teams, we have Zoom. And inevitably, when people use Outlook to schedule meetings, that nasty thing will leave the Teams option enabled. And I am convinced it sneaks it back on just at random times to see if you're paying attention. And so we oftentimes get the, we jump over here, they jump over there. They jump over here, we jump over there. And we do this a couple of times until everybody lands on one. Jeremy said he'd be right here.
Hello.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good. Sorry for running a little late.
That's okay.
Mm-mm. I was in the middle of editing a Jira ticket when I remembered I had to be this meeting, so I just had to, save the work I was working on.
It's been a long time since I've actually filled out a Jira ticket. I remember how painful it used to be.
It's not painful to fill out a Jira ticket, but they are they keep do UX changes. And one of the things that is really throwing me off is because I'm working with three different development teams, is that right now in the active sprint, they do not show the sprint number. And we are living by this is sprint 221, this is sprint 222, So just having it as the active sprint, it does not say anything. And I'm some of the latest changes, I really wonder where they have their UX designers right now. And also the top bar, I don't know if you have noticed, now you have everything in your left menu, and that's also a mess. So it's not structured the way it used to be.
No.
So,
Howdy, folks. You
hello.
mean in on snapshot the design has changed? Yeah.
No, not Snapshot. Folio Jira. I'm talking about.
I'm
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
yeah. And so, I think 60% of my time I'm working in Jira.
Okay.
Any of you ever go to bed hoping that data import will be done with something when you wake up in the morning and it's at 0% when you wake up? Has that happened
Oh.
to anybody?
So a standard way to fix some of these things is to simply bring allocate more memory. And I can see a German customer also has simply we need to allocate more memory to the calendar.
Yeah, I talked to our operations guy about that yesterday about resourcing for this. So hopefully we can get it moving. Anyway, okay. I do not have a ton prepared today, and I don't feel like I had a ton last week set up to talk about, but I know Maccabee asked some really great questions about the document I posted, and I wouldn't mind getting into those. Since he's here with us.
Maybe
And
an
then,
update on the community council talks on Monday.
yeah, since Stephen is here with us, I do think it would be good to kind of get a feel for where he feels like the community council is on that. And I know that there are some planned discussions with the community council about community-directed development in the future. So it would also be a good idea to make sure that we have our ducks in a row as far as what we're going to be speaking with them about. So, not to
So I
put you up.
guess that was planned for the 11th, right, Stephen?
Correct. The
Yes.
next meeting is where we have the, I guess the final showdown. We're going to try to get everyone to present their ideas for this new community-driven development model. Not to co-opt our term, but that's really what we're talking about, is what is the model we're going to use going forward to ensure that Folio has a sustainable development model driven by community needs and not by a single vendor or partner. And so I think the main concern around this is sustainability. The partners that are interested in this, like Index Data, are really concerned about being able to generate revenue off of these efforts and not just kind of be co-opted into doing some goodwill development and then have no way to sustain any kind of revenue stream on the back end. So my take for the community council is I think they see Mike Grell's proposal as the most fleshed out in amount of detail that he offered. Ian's proposal that came kind of out of nowhere with that kind of a radical departure from open source software into a kind of a freemium model, right? Where you get the free software, but you only get it after everyone's kind of gotten past the main value point of it. And then we have our model, which is a little bit of a looser model, but my proposal to the community council when we were when we met earlier this week was that we select an initiative to pilot through our chosen model or models and see what the outcomes are for that particular effort. We Texas A&M has kind of already this need, as well as several of you do, for extending a copy support. We felt that was a good pilot project for this model. So that's kind of where we ended up. I think that's most people were trying to defer judgment until we get to hear from the presenters on the 11th.
We talked about Jeremy that it would be great if you could attend on October 11th. Is that
Yeah,
possible?
I absolutely should be able to be there. I'm
You
planning on
mean
it.
August 11th?
Yeah,
Yeah.
sorry. Yeah.
You know what? I heard August when you said October, so
It's August. Yeah.
yeah, I think when I look at both what I typed up and what Mike has typed up, I do think that they're in a sense they're you mentioned, Stephen, how the contributor network proposal is a lot more fleshed out, and I think that that really is the case. In fact, I think that what everything that is covered kind of in the document I typed up, it really constitutes just one single subset, kind of the funding piece of
Yeah.
what Mike has laid out. So he talks about like dashboards and being able to like kind of post jobs and get people to kind of use these utilities as almost kind of like marketplace for allowing people to direct their funds and their resources and kind of pull them together for specific efforts. And that piece of his proposal is really where the strongest overlap is with what I typed up. But I think they are basically very similar mechanisms for accomplishing the same thing. I suppose my perspective on it was to try to come up with something that seemed like it was very inclusive of folio governance in the process, because I'd really like whatever process is put in place to kind of strengthen the community governance of the project. And then also I was trying to come up with something that was, I don't want to say irreducibly simple, because it's not that, but I was kind of trying to lean in that direction. Do we want to address some of Maccabee's questions?
I think it would be a good idea, but then maybe if we can do it in this context that we are talking about how to have it, Jeremy's proposal and the Mike Gorell write-up thought of as one document, because I think we are complicating things unnecessary if we are not set like this in this document, but set like this in this document. We are not helping each other by seeing obstacles, but we probably need to see how can we make things fit together.
I'm not opposed to the idea of trying to see the two things combined. What are the rest of y'all's feelings on that?
I think you can harmonize them.
Yeah, I mean, it would also be, I think it would be good to have only one document or one concept on that we present on BuildCon. I think it would not be a good idea to have one presentation with this document and one presentation with another document, and then people just leaving people wondering about who's gonna who's gonna make it, or if this these are the community maybe is split or something. Just give a better impression. We have one document and we have one presentation for one concept.
Yeah. One of the things that's like just very obviously not addressed in the thing that I wrote up is it just seems to strongly indicate that it's a model that is intended to fund hiring people to do the work. My write-up did not the dip process does not, it seems to strongly indicate that, yeah, you'd hire some contractors to do the work. It doesn't really include this concept necessarily of like a team to do the work that is dedicated to the Folio community. And I do think that that is, you know, that's always been kind of a part of the conversation is, you know, like kind of a staffed model for handling this, at least to some degree. I think a hybrid is probably going to be needed. I just don't think that the Folio community is anywhere near being able to keep on staff the number of resources that would be required to do consistent development work. But I do think that they probably could keep on staff, specific pieces of a team, you know, like for instance, a technical lead or a product owner or, you know, kind of consistent pieces that could be used to kind of drive the process forward. Whereas some of the other parts of the team might be able to kind of be put together from either hiring people on a contract basis or, you know, through in-kind contributions. Yeah, Charlotte?
Yeah, so we talked also about it last time, but one of the advantages with having, you could say, maybe a core team or a team where we can, include developers who are more contracted to some work, but we have a kind of a backbone of developers and PO Scrum Master, because then we can train and make sure that we get more developers familiar with doing Folio development, and then because that is one of our bottlenecks that we kind of have too few. And you could say it could also be that if EBSCO is scaling down their number of EPAM developers, then maybe some of the EPAM developers would be a good contribution, or developers from what's it called, Baltic Software Development Company, which is some guys Index Data has had good experience working with, but they, in order to have people coming completely outside, they need to be trained by developers and Folio project owners who are familiar with and have experience. That's at least makes the learning curve faster, or not as steep as if you are coming completely outside.
Well, let's see. How should we tackle Maccabee's questions? Should I share my screen and we just kind of read them?
Sure.
Okay. I'll try to do that. Of course, I share my screen. It's a laptop. And it's immediately taken up by all the extra stuff that Zoom throws on there. I can't actually read anything.
Yeah, it looks fine.
Yeah.
And I'm watching a laptop too, so.
Let's see. I do want to pull up the actual document. Yeah, there we go. Can I download this?
There's a pop-out button in the lower right of the Slack window to, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Awesome. Thank you.
I just found it myself.
Okay, and I'll try to throw this somewhere where we can reference it. Okay, there's, I don't want to think about that right now. Okay, cool. So your first question here, Maccabee, is that the scope of this proposal would be to centrally fund through Folio LLC, and I think that is the case. For the purpose of this process that's defined, it only outlines how to use the Folio LLC to fund projects and how different organizations can funnel money through that project to fund specific development efforts. So, I do think it's very possible to not use Folio LLC as like a kind of a funnel for this. But some of the things I like about that is one, again, it gives the Folio governance an opportunity to kind of have some influence over the things that are being developed, which I do think would be a good thing. I mean, I don't know. I suppose that's up for debate. In fact, I know that there are people in our community who would probably think that that wasn't a good a good thing. But I think it would be. And then two, I do think from a contract basis, it's much more simple for vendors, for contractors to interface with one legal entity as opposed to potentially many. And so I like the idea of the contracts for work on Folio being between Folio and individual contractors, and for there to be a softer arrangement between the people providing resources, something like an MOU, seems like a more nimble way to approach it. So that was the rationale there. Any thoughts on that?
So remember, I put these questions there a few weeks ago. You guys have had a couple of meetings in between, right? So that I haven't been here for. So if some of these things are moot or whatever, feel free to say so. But from the comments earlier today, which I agree with, that the idea would be that the contribution network proposal is much broader, and this is like a segment of that. This is trying to fill in the blanks or replace or merge with some sections of that proposal. It's a matter of which sections it is. The reason I thought that this was about central funding is because a lot of what you're doing in this proposal is refining an approval. And I don't see why the councils would need to approve something in the first place if, let's say, Lehigh was going to 100% fund something, but we wanted to use even if we wanted to use the Folio LLC as a pass-through, why would we need to go through that approval process, and the submission and the iterative refinement and all that, if it's not going to be funding it?
Well, I think the notion is that this would become part of the official software repository in the project versus being a branch or some sort of private project that you just kind of use in conjunction with the official Folio project.
But 100% of the code right now that's contributed to Folio is, to the official project, is done by the individual development stakeholders with whatever funding models they might have. And none of that's, I mean, there's the TCR process and, the processes that exist right now, but they're not anything like what's being proposed here. And I thought the reason for this more specific proposal was the central funding.
Yeah, that is an aspect of it. I do think that there is a certain amount of overhead to, like in your example, Maccabee, of like, if Lehigh wanted to fund something through the Folio LLC, but not have to go through the, any kind of like, bureaucratic process in order to do that. I think that there is benefits to, like I said, allowing the governance to kind of get their two cents in on the stuff that's being developed.
Okay.
Certainly, I mean that, but that's up for discussion. I mean, maybe it's not, but
Okay.
is a perspective on it. But certainly, there's nothing keeping Lehi or anyone else from contracting directly with people off to the side to develop stuff for Folio. I mean that there's nothing we could do to stop that, and there's nothing we should do to try to keep that from
That's
happening.
fine. I'll leave it there. I didn't mean to open up a can of worms. I'm just trying to get back to where you were earlier in the meeting with trying to merge these proposals. The best way to do that, in my opinion, is to figure out where the overlap is and figure out what parts of the Gorel document, this is meant to enhance or replace or so forth. And I think the larger the scope of this document, the harder it is to do that merging, right? But I don't want to belabor the point if you think that this is applicable to non-centrally funded things too. Fair enough.
So I think also my impression from Mike Gorrell's proposal was almost like that the Folio community would expose utilities to almost to like do like a matchmaker kind of functionality, like a like a dating
Right.
website or
Right.
something. And I feel like my proposal puts a little bit more structure to just to that funding piece of like maybe more intentional, less like kind of coincidental pairings of resources with endeavors. But I'm hard pressed to say which one would be better. I do think there's merits to both concepts.
Let's keep going.
Sure. So this question is, I think it's really interesting. I feel like what you're pointing out here is that there seems to be a cart before the horse thing where some of the feedback, like technical feasibility, comes prior to the people who will actually be doing the work. Kind of expressing what they want to do technically, and that there might be some issues with that. Is that the heart of kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah, and it's an estimating work is an impossible thing, I grant you, but this is keeping the potential doers of the work out of the process of estimating, which is I think pretty directly contrary to what Mike is trying to do in the other proposal with having a group of people that's doing the estimation being people who are experienced, how does he put it? Ideally, a group of individuals with the expertise, time, and perspective to navigate complex, blah, 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 organizations who are actively developing and are funding development and have the necessary skills and time. I mean, you could argue about the governance model from a governance perspective, but from a technical expertise perspective, it seems like they're more qualified to do that estimation than the people who simply want the feature.
Yeah, I think that that's a legitimate concern in this. I mean, I could say something like, the stakeholders when they're putting this stuff together, might want to include potential vendors in like the process, and a lot of these conversations do kind of have all the same people in them at each level of a lot of the contractors who do the work are present in like in the governance, but. That seems kind of haphazard. That seems kind of like me just saying, well, it probably would work out, and it doesn't seem like intentional by design to address this concern. So I think that might be something that, yeah, that should be addressed. Charlotte?
So I will agree with Maccabee that we should avoid the situation where it is kind of the stakeholders going way too deep into the how, because it is not until the developers start look into the code that we get much more certainty about how is this actually to be implemented.
Yeah.
I'd say I see it so many times that I am working on features where the how has been, people have went way too far on how to do things, and then when the backend developers start to work their way through things, then that's not the way to go. So we can say we should not we should be we should be careful that that is not a constraint, an awkward constraint we are putting down over this work.
Yeah. I think some thought should be put into how to address this, because it does seem like, I mean, there are RFCs. There is the T is the TCR process still a thing? There are mechanisms in place to address that, but they would all fall later in the process than this. And so yeah, I think that this bears more thought. It's a good question. I'd like to see some refinement in what I typed up based on this. Yes, Charlotte?
One of the things that might be a good idea to put a little paragraph around could be how to collaborate with the module owning development teams,
Yeah.
because it is and when we are doing work for specific customers, we constantly are, touching circulation modules we are touching, which is owned by right now the EPAM teams. So I think it will be good to have to show that we are aware that we need to keep in the technical leads and the developers in these owning teams and the product owner in the loop.
That is a good idea. I think that should happen. Is there a limitation to how costly the proposals are that can go through this process? Seems like we're asking the councils to evaluate in front and endorse as many as proposals as come in without knowing what, if any, budgets the community has to spend on them. This is another really great point. I will tell you that, and I mentioned this, I think, last time, but we at Texas A&M, as self-hosters, are currently in talks with other self-hosters in the community about potentially trying to band together to fund some support in Sunflower for Okapi to bridge the gap between now and when all of us self-hosters have to go to Eureka. And the sort of arrangement that we're looking at might look a lot like this proposal, if we can swing it. But one of the things that we're doing on the front side of this, before we bring all this forward to the CC and to the community to kind of try to get buy-in, is we've passed out a survey among all the interested parties that we've identified so far to kind of get a feel for what resources we all feel like we potentially could bring to the table, and kind of feel how much juice is there behind this idea. And so I think that we kind of intuited the same thing that you're bringing up here, Maccabee, is that before the community council or the Folio community in general can really say, all right, let's get behind this. They need a really good idea of what is the material interest in this thing. Is it just a vapor idea that somebody has, or is there a real sense that that if we were to endorse this approach, that there would be material support for it in the community? And I think some mechanism like that interest survey or something like that might be a good idea to be a part of the initial document of, just something like, it doesn't have to be, anything that anyone's even like necessarily held accountable for, but just kind of a good faith gut check for like, who is interested in and supporting something like this. It seems like having that document would help any proposal kind of find purchase in the discussions. I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
I think that would be a help, certainly. I think this goes a little bit with the previous bullet point of if you're going through all of the speccing and estimation process without knowing what the vendors who would be doing the work actually think about it, and you're doing that n times with no limit on n and taking up the governance group's time on it, then you've made the process even more difficult. So I think it's related, but I think it goes back to the previous bullet point about the order of the work.
Do you think that some kind of capacity guidelines would be advisable, like to for you know for the you know like the like if something like this were put into place to say that the council should set a number for how many concurrent development endeavors should can be in flight at any given time?
I think we have a chicken and egg problem, which is that our total budget right now for this work is zero, and therefore
Sure.
the total capacity is zero. And so, that halts the process completely if the scope was what I thought it was originally, which is things centrally funded through the Folio LLC, unless we're being optimistic and assuming that we're going to figure out the funding along with this, in which case we're guessing at capacity. I think what makes the contribution network proposal more, I don't know, have more avenues to success is that there's not the assumption that every project listed on that dashboard is going to be community funded. Some of them may be, some of them might be funded by, individual institutions with interest and so forth. So there's less of a burden to having the idea, less of a burden to do a full evaluation of it, less of a reason to stop because there's no community money. Whereas I think I'm not trying to be the community council here and say there is no money, therefore don't do this, or there is money, therefore do it. I just don't know how you come up with the cap and how you would come up with those limitations.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think so. When I say, I think I probably was misleading when I answered the first bullet point that you had. When I say community funded, I just mean that the funds would funnel through the community. I do see the lion's share of the funds for any particular development effort being given to the Folio LLC earmarked for a specific development endeavor. So, and I feel like knowing that those funds are going to be there ahead of time is a important will be an important calculus for whether or not, under this model, the community were to endorse a specific development effort. I guess what I view is that endorsing a development initiative, on the part of the community is basically the community saying, yes, we are willing to be the broker for, for this development effort, but not necessarily that they're on the hook to fund it, only fund it if the funds are there and being given from, from individual members of the community.
So I'm not the one who's going to be bothered by that, but I wonder if we have, for example, one or some institutions that want to funnel it through the Folio LLC. I can imagine maybe it's going to be complicated for those institutions, because they are not contracting with the development teams. So, at least how I know it works is, you make a contract and then something is being developed, and then you have a I'm missing the English word. I mean, you just show and that the thing has been done that was contracted, and then the development company gets the money. And so I wonder if this if it's going to work if there is the LLC in the middle, because the contract is done by the LLC, and the LLC has to say yes, okay, the product is, or the contract has been accomplished and the product is done, but money comes from the other institutions, and they usually, I think, cannot just give the money to LLC and then see what happens, but they have to Yeah, they have to be granted that the product has been created or the contract is done. So, I mean, you have some, yeah, I don't know, some risk and condition maybe from a juridical point.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, I think I can imagine some scenarios, at least at Texas A&M, where we want to see something happen, but we don't necessarily want to take on the burden and the responsibility of driving that process forward. And so giving some resources to kind of help it happen, but having another organization kind of shepherd that process forward would be an attractive thing. But you see, as you pointed out, Martin, you cede a certain amount of control by taking that approach. And, I do, you're absolutely right that there are other situations, based maybe on like the mission critical nature of what, what it is that's being done or something like that, where you do want that level of control. You don't want to not be the one approving the work that's being done. And so that's interesting. Can we talk for a second about like the flip side of this? Because one of the things I think that all of these proposals are trying to get at is a way for different organizations to pool their resources to address development efforts. That's certainly the case with this proposal that we're talking about. One of the things that has come up, and just to use it as an example again, with this discussion with the self-hosters about funding a copy development for Sunflower is, kind of the opposite model of this, where each one of the interested parties has an individual contract with the developers to get the work done. How would oversight and kind of final approval work in that scenario where there's many different entities within the individual contracts? Like, for instance, let's say we do that. Let's say GBV and Stanford and Texas A&M all throw some money in a pot and all three of us end up with individual contracts with Index Data to do some work. And Stanford and TAMU are really happy with the work that's being done, but GBV is not. What happens?
Yeah, I agree with that concern as well. And I think this proposal has a lot more ambition if it's trying to solve that problem. Because in the Folio community, we already have the ability for any individual institution to get work added to Folio Core by directly paying a vendor to have it done. Or a vendor themselves doing the work to get it done in Folio Core, and they don't need any of this process that's being proposed in this document. And so I really don't want to belabor the first bullet point because we keep going back to that. But if we're trying to make an argument for why this makes sense for things that are still individually funded by different institutions or collaboratively funded by different institutions funneling money through the LLC, I think that just raises so many more questions about why and why those institutions would choose to go that way. Yes, I see there are some advantages if you don't want to do all the bureaucracy yourself, but all of the disadvantages that you're bringing up, I agree with.
Yeah. I guess my point was though that some of the complications there are complications when disparate legal entities want to work together to get work done. Like there it gets complicated right off the bat, whether you're funneling money through a central organization to accomplish it or you're all contracting individually, it still is kind of unclear like who's owning the process. And yeah, Charlotte.
And now I can only speak of how it works for the project I'm involved in. But for GBV, here we have a rolling contract and we renew it every 6 months, and we do up a plan for what are we to do, what are the expectation of the development we are asked to do for on behalf of GBV, and then we are fitting it into the planning of the flower releases. But we do also work for, you can say, libraries coming with one feature they want to have developed. Linköping University wanted to have the floating collection developed, and that work spun over two releases. And then that was a done. So that was a one-time contract. And in, you can say, in GBV's case, where we have a rolling contract, then we are talking about this amount of development hours. And for the floating collections and for other work we have done, then it's an estimate of what that work will be. And that's and then that's on us to make sure that we get the calculation right, so we don't, you know, have to work 2 extra months without any pay or something. So it's two different ways to approach it.
That kind of segues into the next bullet point pretty well. And how is ongoing support funded for the work done on these proposals? And you just kind of, Charlotte, described, you know, one mode of contract that Index Data engages in that facilitates ongoing work. And I think it probably should be addressed explicitly in what we have typed up here, but I don't think there's anything about, I certainly was thinking when I was writing this about kind of one-off development endeavors, but I don't think there's anything about this model that demands that the specific proposal is confined to just one-off development endeavors. Like, so for instance, I could definitely see the proposal that gets put forward including like a maintenance timeline, you know, to be renewed at a later date. So, you know, part of the funds that are promised through MOUs, you know, could include, you know, yearly contributions towards maintenance or something of that nature. Like, it seems like, in fact, actually, that seems like something that could be encouraged through the process. So if someone brings forward a proposal and it doesn't include the concept of maintenance, that's something that the councils could kind of push back on and say, well, we like this idea, but you guys need to iterate on your proposal so that we can see where the maintenance is coming from, you know, for this work. Maccabee?
Yeah, I think what you just said makes sense. The reason I brought up this bullet point is because as I was originally conceiving of your proposal here as dealing with the central funds through, you know, that are from the community and comparing that with Mike's proposal, which is broader, but the central funds in Mike's proposal are going primarily to support. And the thing that his thesis and that document is essentially that support is the thing we need to be centrally funding. And that there's the whole dashboard of other things that people might want to be doing. You know, there's other opportunities there for new development and so forth. But most of his work was arguing that what we lack right now is the ongoing support of contributed modules, and how do we deal with that? And so I think it's important for the DIP proposal to, if it's also trying to take a chunk of that sweet, sweet, sweet central funded money, you know, to cover that same ground, or to explain why it doesn't, and to, because it's a glaring difference and is going to be a point of actual conflict, in my opinion, between the two proposals.
Yeah. Yeah. I think once again, this is something that I think potentially the model that's being proposed here could support, but probably needs to explicitly support it. probably needs to call that out explicitly. Okay. Well, I think after this conversation, I'm inspired to make a few changes to this document and repost it up here. When it comes to talking with the community council about all this stuff, are y'all saying that y'all would like us to, like Mike and I, to meet together and try to figure out how we can combine these concepts, or should we just in this group try to combine them and bring forward something that is a combination of both concepts, or should we just present them individually and just mention the fact to the community council that we do see the possibility for combination?
So in the meeting, sorry. So in the meeting, Mike Gorell said that he felt his document was the most comprehensive one. So maybe my suggestion would be, what about if we invite Mike Gorell to attend our next work meeting here, and then we together with him as a dialogue can see where can we do some smaller tweaks in his document to make it inclusive of the thinking we have, and especially if he was more only thinking about maintenance and not really about new feature development that has been hanging for years and years and years. And you can say the community, because that is something we have talked quite a bit about, that we wanted to make sure that the six who are working on describing features, etc., that they see that at the some top point their ideas are being realized and they can see the new functionality in Folio. So
I love that idea. I would love, I mean, if Mike's willing to come talk with us about this, I think that we could make a lot of headway with a conversation with him. Maccabee?
Yeah, that's fair. I have no objection to that. I think at the community council, right, which is, to be clear, after this group's next meeting, because it's in a week and a half, the community council meeting is going to hear summaries of all the different proposals and then figure out next steps. And what that means, you know, Stephen, maybe you can speak for the community council better, but you know, I imagine that'll be a process in and of itself of trying to figure this out. And I don't know what that'll look like, but I think that Mike is right that his proposal is more fleshed out. I think that's true on two different dimensions. I think Mike's proposal is a lot broader. It covers a lot of different more aspects, you know, new development plus support, central funding versus broader funding, some of the infrastructure in place like dashboards. And I also think that his proposal has evolved a little bit to address some of the early concerns that this group raised, especially about the governance piece and about, you know, that group being yet another governance independent group or whatever. So without knowing how CC would view things, I'm guessing, and feel free to disagree, that the consensus is going to end up being, let's start with Mike's proposal as a baseline and then see how we want to change it. And if that's true, then our group could be potentially best spent by figuring that question out, by figuring out which parts of our proposal we want to see as diffs to Mike's proposal and to change those pieces, right? And the comments in the second post that I did there at 907 were a lot about the similarities. Like there are things about the DIP proposal that are probably very complementary and don't, the differences don't matter, right? And we could argue about the individual bits there, but the point is there's a lot of things in the DIP proposal that probably don't have to be part of that conversation or could be in very small and trivial ways. But if we really want to argue about the bigger things about central funding going to support versus new development or what the governance model is or things like that, our time would be better spent figuring out those diffs and thinking about them in that context.
I think my rationale, because you know, I wrote this, you know, after having read Mike's document, I think my rationale was trying to do something that seemed like a lighter lift than what Mike was proposing. Not necessarily because I thought that it was, I'm a big fan of what Mike put together, and I would not be upset if that was just the model that we adopted and tried to move forward with. But I guess I was trying to envision something that seemed like, what I guess maybe I was trying to answer the question, what is the simplest, what's the most simple iteration of this concept that we could kind of still call community-driven development that still has some structure and order, so it's not, riddled with ambiguity, but that kind of just is like the heart of the idea of community driving development. I think that is a useful, at least thought experiment, to kind of get into the conversation. I think it probably would be a useful foil for Mike's proposal when it comes to the community council's discussion. Maybe if people are gun shy about implementing this, maybe the DIP would be a good starting place that, and there could be a phased plan for growing it into what Mike proposed or something along those lines. But I guess I was just trying to come out with something that seemed like a leaner, more stripped down kind of approach. But Jen.
Yeah, I was just gonna agree that my concern, I mean, I have a couple of concerns with Mike's proposal, but one of them is specifically about the decision-making body. Even though now he's sort of talking about a group that's a subcommittee of community council, he still is drawing membership around who's participating in that contribution network as decision makers, which is still creating yet another level of division between community decision making and the contribution network's decision making. And I think that that's really difficult because one of the ways to get all of this to work is to get members to decide that their membership is more valuable and to give more money. And this sort of framework implies that, yet again, giving even more money isn't enough. In order to actually count in this decision making, you have to also be giving a developer. You have to also be part of the contribution network.
Yeah.
And so I guess I just want, I understand the desire to collaborate with Mike and that these things are going to merge together, but I would like to see us get to kind of explain this on its own. I personally would be perfectly fine just going in, whatever changes you want to update, and presenting this as a freestanding thing to community council, when that meeting happens.
It certainly won't take super long to present it. I think it's a pretty stripped down idea. But well, we're coming up on time, and Charlotte, would you be willing to ask Mike if he'd be willing to come and speak with us at the next Wednesday meeting?
Yes, I can do that.
Okay. I'd like to hear his thoughts on things. Would you I'll reach out to Mike.
What about that we add him to the CGD channel we have, and then I ask him in the shared channel?
That's a
Because
great
if,
idea.
yeah, I'll do that.
Awesome. All right, well, I'll let you technical council folks get to your technical council and say happy Wednesday to everybody. Adios.
Thank you.
Bye.
Jeremy, you're always welcome for old time's sake. Ah, he left.